And they're on.
The Cheltenham Show.
On Off the Ball.
With Kildare Village. Where there's something extraordinary every day.
Welcome back. Now we're turning to Cheltenham. Our coverage is with thanks to Kildare Village, home to leading menswear brands with savings of up to 60% off recommended retail prices all year round, including sports brands such as New Balance, Under Armour and Puma. Later on, we're going to talk to Patrick Mullins about an eventful day for the Mullins family at Cheltenham. But first, Rachel Blackmore had her first ever Cheltenham win this afternoon. She's having a fantastic season. She rode the favourite Aplutar to victory in the Novices Handicap Chase. Here's how Racing TV called the closing stages.
There. Rachel Blackmore has come now to take it up. Comes around the outside of the Russian Doyen. Ben Dundee and the Stripes is running on. Tower Bridge over the far side closing up the second last. Good leap from Aplutar. Up and over it safely. Moves on by Phelan's. Tower Bridge, Ben Dundee. Huntsford some behind this. But Aplutar is sprinting clear. Good leap at the last. Landed about 10 lengths clear. Heads up the line now. At Tower Bridge in second. The Russian Doyen and Ben Dundee behind these. They play for play. Aplutar was right on time with Rachel Blackmore and wins in great style. Home in second, Tower Bridge, Ben Dundee in third. They're followed in by the Russian Doyen, Springtown Lake behind this, and then Roaring Bull.
There you are. We're delighted to say Rachel Blackmore joins us live on the line now. Evening, Rachel.
Hi, I'm just smiling away to myself here listening to our commentary.
Yeah, I mean, congratulations, amazing. I guess you kind of figure when you dream about a day like that for a long time, you expect it almost to be harder when it actually happens.
Yeah, look, getting winner in Cheltenham is, you know, it's something every jockey aspires to do, and it's an incredibly hard week to achieve that. So, no, look, it's fantastic.
Talk us through the race. I mean, it started well and it finished well.
Yeah. The winning jockey will always say the race went well. You know, the horse was, you know, his form had really backed up earlier in the day with Duke de Geneva winning the Arkell. So, you know, he should have been able to do that in that fashion, and it's just fantastic that he did.
What's the feeling afterwards? I mean, you're having this fantastic season, 84 winners, and you're fighting hard for the champion jockey crown here in Ireland. I presume it's a bit different though. There's an extra buzz. I don't know, are there family members over or who you go to, or is it just so quick that you're into the next race?
Yeah, look, Cheltenham is different. You know, there's a serious atmosphere there. It's kind of what National Hunt Racing is, you know, whatever it's aiming for in the National Hunt game all season. So it's, you know, it's all about Cheltenham, and it's just where everyone wants to be riding winners. So I'm just extremely grateful, you know, to Henry de Bromhead for giving me the opportunity to ride that lad today. And, you know, he's put a lot of faith in me this week. So delighted I could repay him.
Yeah, I mean, Rachel, it's the highs and lows of the game, because you mentioned Henry de Bromhead. You know, you take a fall off Ornua yourself in the Arkell, you know, and I suppose you must think, is it one of those days or something like that? So it must be particularly sweet to pick yourself up in one piece and you know, end the day as you did.
Yeah, you know, you just have to move on to the next one. You know, and I was lucky. I had another one coming up that day. So, oh, look, it's brilliant.
What are the big challenges for a jockey at Cheltenham, Rachel?
I suppose it's extremely competitive racing. You know, no one's given anyone an inch. You know, it's just extremely competitive. It's a very unique kind of track as well. You know, you're looking out for the guys who have a lot of experience around there and who ride it well. And you know, Ruby Walsh gave me a few tips before I went out, and you know, that's a serious help. You know, having someone like that to give you a hand. You know,
any specifics? That's pretty interesting. What kind of anything Ruby tells you around Cheltenham, you should almost write it down. Anything jump out, or anything that you used?
Oh, look, just to, you know, just about riding that track or whatever. So, you know, it's a big help.
No, come on now. You're keeping that very secret. give us a sense.
Next question.
but Rachel, you're riding, like, that was a novice handicap chase that you're in, the Aplutar race. And I mean, it was a grief-stricken day at Cheltenham today. There was a lot going on. You know, there was a lot of sort of fallers at particular times in races. But your position was pretty solid throughout. Was being reasonably prominent always part of the game plan with that horse?
Yeah, look, the game plan was just to keep it as simple as I could. And, you know, in the manner that he won, I just had to steer him around there in one piece. You know, it wasn't that's all I had to do today on him. You know, he won so impressively, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of people would have looked at pictures today of, you know, mud splattered jockeys, and it's maybe slightly different to some of the conditions this winter that have been a talking point. I mean, how testing was it today? You know, how sort of challenging were the conditions today?
They weren't too bad. There was a lot of rain a couple of hours just before racing, but no, look, the track rode well, and you know, they weren't as testing maybe as this time last year at the festival.
How are you set up for the week then, even just logistically? Where are you staying? Are you near the course? Are you trying to relax in the evening time, or is it just home and crash to bed?
Staying in cottages, literally a 5-minute walk from the race course. So it's, you know, it's brilliant. I was speaking to Jennifer Pugh today, the senior medical officer, and she was saying that anyone she asks, where are you staying? Everyone's staying 5 or 10 minutes from the race course. So there must be an evacuation of people in houses or in Cheltenham for this week, I think.
Yeah. And are you with other jockeys? Are you with family? Or what
yeah,
have you gone
I'm staying here. Patrick Mullins has a cottage here, and a couple of us stay here. Right. So, you know, it's good to be around good people.
Yeah, that's a great setup. Do you talk shop?
Yeah.
Do you go home and analyse the races? Do you swap, you know, war stories, or is racing almost strictly off the table? Let's talk about anything but.
No, not at all. I think there's a lot of after racing chat, and I'm really enjoying it today.
Yeah.
But no, right now they're shouting into me here. They're trying to decide what takeaway to get.
You can't be having takeaway the week of Cheltenham, surely.
Yeah, that's what's on the card.
Right, okay. Like, yeah. Interesting. What's the word on tomorrow, by the way? The weather obviously is a big concern.
Yeah, the temporary structures that they have in Cheltenham, kind of down before the winning post, I think there could be something to do with insurance and the wind speed, so they have to keep an eye on that. So they're having inspection in the morning, but look, hopefully it'll pass that and everything will be okay.
Okay, inspection tomorrow morning. We'll hear more about that in due course. How does the rest of the week shape up for you? What rides are you looking out for in particular?
I've good rides for the rest of the week. So, which ones am I really looking out for? I think Cuneo could run a big race in the Pretemps tomorrow. So we'll, fingers crossed there.
Okay, good stuff. And one last one. What were those tips Ruby Walsh gave you again for around Cheltenham?
Just to make sure you're in front crossing the line.
No doubt. Hey, listen, congratulations. I'm sure you're delighted. I'm sure you're tired as well. So we'll let you go. Thanks a mil.
Super. Thanks a million, guys.
Cheers. There's Rachel Blackmore. Off to have her takeaway.
Yeah, she's got six rides tomorrow, I see, as well. So, I mean, that in itself is
busy.
You know, that's to have six rides on a busy day at Cheltenham is a reflection of your standing.
No doubt. Well, let's go to the media centre at Cheltenham. Will six rides go ahead tomorrow, John Duggan, is one of the questions. What is the word on Storm Gareth?
8 o'clock, we'll know in the morning. I think the worry here is that they had winds, I think, of 38 miles an hour at a previous meeting, and they weren't sure if they had a crowd like they did today, which is 67,000, that they'd be able to handle it. Mm. 11 years ago, we had this problem that the Wednesday was abandoned and they ran the races then over the Thursday and the Friday, which is probably my favourite ever Cheltenham, because it was just relentless racing for 2 days. It was brilliant. But they can't do that anymore for horse welfare issues. So if it does get postponed tomorrow, they'll run the whole of Wednesday's card on Saturday. So they'll run the champion chase on Saturday. So I don't think anybody wants that from a logistical point of view. So we're hoping that, I think the word optimistic was used by the boss of Cheltenham, Ian Renton, in one of the press releases today. So optimistic, but obviously they don't want to be getting people into the course and then telling them that it's not going to happen. So that's why they've been alerting people today that it could happen, and the 8 o'clock will know further. But it's its own microclimate here, Cheltenham. And I find that, you know, you expect rain, you expect this, you expect that, and it doesn't necessarily always go according to plan, like all weather around the world. But Cheltenham is almost like a bowl climate, and it could be worse than forecast. It could be less bad. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it'll go ahead.
Yes, that's interesting, John. So is there sort of any indications of how late they could leave the call? I mean, will it have to be after that 8 a.m. inspection because of the, you know, the travel logistics you mentioned of getting people into the course? I mean, they can't leave it till 10:30 or something like that, you know?
No, I think they're going to have another inspection. They could have another inspection after race goers go in. I think there could be two. So that's a possibility. But I think, you know, you get a sense when you come here what it's like. So this morning we knew when the clouds came in, oh, it's going to be dreary. But it's funny, like, as I said, it's a microclimate. And like once the rain had abated in the day, the sun came out. So it is a strange place, a bit of a twilight zone when it comes to weather at times. Cheltenham can get very cold. It can be four seasons in one day, and hopefully the winds, the way they're blowing, won't blow in a way that'll put those hospitality villages. But I suppose there's so many temporary structures here, and like it is, you know, it is a bit of a circus, and not in the kind of, I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but I mean, like, you know, you're putting up the tents.
Literally a circus almost, in terms of the infrastructure.
Infrastructure, you know, all these kind of, like, you know, and catering and that. And what they're saying is even on Saturday, they'll probably have to have, if they have to go to Saturday, a kind of a lesser limited catering service, because catering companies will be going off to Twickenham and to Cardiff.
Yeah. So you've been to many a day at Cheltenham over the years, John. Sum up today. What stories are jumping out at you? What kind of day was it? We'll follow your lead here.
Well, the first story was that we had an Irish winner of the big race, which is always great, but not the one we expected. Esper Dallin, five-year-olds don't tend to win champion hurdles. It's only the second since 1985. JB McManus, owned horse. Gavin Cromwell's first ever winner at Cheltenham at the festival. Brilliant story. He actually does the shoes, so he's the farrier for Gordon Elliott. But he's become this excellent burgeoning young trainer. He's got about 50 horses in his yard. He had a Welsh Grand National winner a couple of years ago, Raz de Marie, and just a good fella. And this horse has only been ever beaten once, Esper Dallin, good juvenile last year, was put away. The conditions suited it. But the fact that the three main protagonists completely flopped in different ways. Bouvier Dare fell at the third. Apples Jade ran no sort of race, and they can't find an explanation why. And then Lorena, according to Ruby Walsh, wasn't travelling at all either. And she cracked when Esper Dallin put the foot on the pedal at the top of the hill. So a 15-length winner. Mark Walsh is only a second ever winner at Cheltenham, a Kildare jockey. A great day for him as well. And Mellon second and Silver Streak third. So a massive shock in the champion hurdle. The other story, I suppose, 4 years on from Annie Power falling at the last at Cheltenham, Benny DeJeu, seen as the banker of the week for Willie Mullins, who'd already sent out two winners earlier in the day, and Ruby Walsh was saying that this horse had a great chance, won the Mare's Hurdle easily, well, no, not easily, but won it last year, but was seen as an absolute certainty, and was looking like a certainty, and then it unfortunately tumbled and fell at the last. It was a former chaser, Benny DeJeu, so maybe, I don't know whether it's the obstacles caught her out or whatever, but that was pretty dramatic from a storyline point of view, and also for the bookies. Bookies just closing their satchels and with full of euro and full of sterling.
Yeah, I mean, what was the atmosphere? Because that was a crazy half hour, as you mentioned, John, with the three big guns not sort of landing a blow, really, in the champion hurdle, and then the Benny DeJeu fall. I mean, I don't know, was it a bit flat around the place? You know, there was no necessarily scenes of massive joy like there is sometimes when a well-fancied favourite is screamed home to the enclosure afterwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion. And I think, like, you know, the weather here can get really, really bad. And like the weather earlier on, you just weren't even wanted to go out. It was that bad. It's like almost like British open weather, you know, it's that kind of awful driving rain here. And, you know, so there was a degree of people inside for the day anyway. And then they came out for some of their races. But it's funny, like, I could hear the roar before I saw it on the television. Not the roar, but the actual, the groan or the shock
gasp.
Of, you know, that kind
of,
the gasp. Yeah, that's the correct word. And I was going, oh, what's happened here? Because I put up Benny, it was one of my bets, my charity bets today. I was going, oh, no, it hasn't fallen, has it? And it had fallen. So, yeah. But look, after that, Rachel then came and won on a Plutard, one of the easiest winners of the day. So, yeah, it was a bit of a strange day. We didn't really have any. I don't think the bookmakers, they would have got hit in certain areas. Like, we didn't have massive price winners. A lot of the horses, I think LeBroy was the biggest price of the day at about, no, it was the second biggest price, about 14s, and Esper Dallin was 16s. But a lot of 6-1, 10-1 winners. So, but no, none of your kind of typical Tuesday. Often, you know, on Tuesday, you'd have maybe a short price favourite for the Supreme Offices of an Irish distinction. You'd have also the Arkle Chase in recent years has generally been for an odds on shot, putting people putting into multiples, and the Champion Hurdle, sometimes even a short priced horse in that as well. So we didn't really have kind of big groundswell of a crowd going for something, because it was kind of funny results today. And I'd say some people did very well, like Johnny War, for example, was touting up Esper Dallin. And I hope he backed it, because he was definitely mentioning it on the Cheltenham show that we did with Kildare Village earlier today. So if he backed that, like, that's his day and possibly his week sorted. Mm. But if you didn't get involved in those kind of horses, you're on the back foot.
The point was made that the Mullins camp were arriving with fewer horses than they have in previous years. Given that they won, they had two winners today and should have had a third. Do you extrapolate from that that you're taking their chances more seriously across the next few days?
I would have taken them seriously anyway.
Sure.
I think that pound for pound, Willie's still the best out there. I know he doesn't have the Jigginstown horses anymore, but he went to Punchestown last year and he was under pressure for the champion's title, and he was amazing at Punchestown. And just because sometimes you can be the victim of your own success. Willie's, I think, is out 63 festival winners now, which is just incredible. And like, Willie is just a brilliant trainer. And Classical Dream, like, looked, he ran as, you know, a brilliant race. He hasn't run that well before, but he hadn't had that softer conditions before, so he improved for the softer conditions. Duke de Geneva, once again, improving for the softer conditions. Benny Dada should have won, and he had a second in the champion hurdle. So also in the mares race, he still had the second and the third. Benny Dada fell, but he still had the second and the third. Ireland,
they're in great, they're arriving in great form, is the short point.
So Willie's got four in the Gold Cup on Friday, and I wouldn't be surprised if one of them won it. So just because a horse or trainer goes through a kind of a dry spell, if you excuse the pun, because of dry weather, doesn't mean they've lost their knack. And we've seen it also with Paul Nicholls in recent years. Hasn't had the quality of horses necessarily, but once he got the quality of horses back, like Surname, then you see that he can train horses, and Willie can definitely train horses. These things are like, I think what I extrapolate from the whole thing, Joe and Dan, is that people have got short memories.
Yeah, I mean, John, I think we spoke last week, you know, you hadn't necessarily got involved anti-post big time, and I think the point is proven that you need to get there in the week and see the conditions and you know, how the track is riding and so on. In terms of tomorrow and the rest of the week, has seeing the conditions today sort of changed your opinions dramatically in any way in terms of, you know, the big races tomorrow, in terms of what impact the ground could have in terms of the destination where they go?
Well, if tomorrow happens, I think Altior will still win the champion chase, even if the conditions are testing, because he won the Tingle Creek at Sandown in heavy ground. I think it just makes it a little bit more difficult in handicap hurdles and handicap chases. I think that's a little bit more of an unknown. Like Beware the Bear today won, a horse I'd never really liked as a jumper, but obviously the blinkers going on him have improved him. But you are seeing horses like Vintage Clouds, Lakeview Lad, consistent horses in heavy ground over the winter that have come up today and proven themselves again on soft ground. So you are looking for, okay, I'm looking for soft ground stayers if I'm looking for certain things. But very hard as well to judge the first race tomorrow, the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. Very hard to judge five or six of them. Reminds me of today's opening Supreme Novices Hurdle. That's a very difficult puzzle to work out. The Sun Lions Chase, I do have a strong fancy for top of the game in that. I don't think the ground will inconvenience him. But once again, the bumper, you've got these horses, young horses, gone in the bumper. A lot of them have come over in the boat or the plane. Are, you know, in an unknown environment. So how are they going to be affected? And that's something that's a little bit more of an unknown. So what I'm going to try and do, Dan, is look for horses that I think have got proven form. For example, Mona Lee now is running in the Ryanair Chase on Thursday because of the conditions. Don't think probably that Henry de Bromhead feels that he's going to get the Gold Cup trip. But over 2.5 miles, even on testing ground, he jumps well. He's got a good attitude generally, and he's got a lot of speed. So that makes sense, just as much as a Plutar in hindsight made great sense today in that race for Rachel Blackmore.
And finally, before you go, talk to us a bit more about the Queen Mother Champion Chase, because Altior is looking to do something pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, looking to win 18 races in a row. So to equal what Big Books did in National Hunt Racing over the last few years. So that'll be a pretty amazing feat. Unbeaten over hurdles and over fences. So I think Kate Harrington rode him at Punchestown and he got beaten. But I think he's had, five hurdle starts and I think 12 chase starts, and he's been unbeaten. And like that is just does not happen in contemporary racing, in modern racing. I was looking at all these stories, go back to 1900s or whatever, Cheltenham, and the people disputing whether it was a successive record or whatever. So the horse is very special. the only thing that can beat Altior is himself, really. Sometimes he can be a little bit funny over a fence. He didn't hit one of the early ones in the Tingle Creek very well. And sometimes he hits a flat spot in his races. But he has this unbelievable turbo boost when he comes to the last furlong or two of a race. He's won at the track. He won the Arkle. He won the Champion Chase, and I expect him to win tomorrow. It's a race to watch. It's not a race to have a bet in or to try and find something to oppose him, because the only thing to oppose him is himself. So we'll be looking for our success away from him tomorrow.
Okay. Rachel Blackmore and friends are having a takeaway. What's your plan?
I'm just trying to... I've been here a long time now today, so I just need to walk down the town and try and find something to eat and then look at the cards and then fall asleep and then go and do it all over again for the next 3 days. Yeah. Okay, I mean, even if the thing is called off tomorrow, that's a good thing because I can do 2 days of cards. not playing cards, but actual studying form. So I'm thinking from half an hour to half an hour. I'm thinking in blocks of 30 minutes at the moment. So
good.
The next block of 30 minutes, it does not involve takeaways. It involves me getting to find somewhere where I can maybe discover a takeaway.
Okay, excellent. Well, listen, we appreciate you staying on. I know it's been a long day. You'll probably be on OTBAM first thing in the morning, and then there's the Cheltenham show as well. So good man. Appreciate it. Safe home.
Guys, no worries. Talk to you soon.
John Duggan there. At the Cheltenham Media Centre, one of the last men standing, by the looks of things.
Yeah, it's a grueler. It is a tough week. Like, it is a long week. I've only been there once for the whole week, and I wasn't really working. So
less grueling.
Less grueling. But I was around the press room a bit, and yeah, it's like, you know, the people go to the Masters, you spend a lot of time in the press tent. You know, there's a bit of that too.
We're going to talk to Patrick Mullins in the next hour. Back in a sec.
And they're on.
The Cheltenham Show.
On Off the Ball.
With Kildare Village. Where there's something extraordinary every day.